This morning we're in Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 18. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You may be seated. I want to begin by asking a very simple question. Why do we need salvation? Why did you accept Jesus Christ? What is the motivator behind you needing to reach out and claim the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, there are many different answers, and some of these answers might surprise some of us. The most popular answer that's given is, well, we didn't want to go to hell, we want to go to heaven. And that's a good reason. But even though it's the most popular reason, it's not the real reason we needed Jesus Christ. Some will say, well, I need to live better. Now, we all need to live better. Amen? But even living better is not going to be the real reason why God sent Jesus to the cross. The problem in America today is we have totally negated, disregarded, or replaced the real reason why we needed Jesus Christ. The real reason we need Jesus is because every single one of us are sinners, and that sin separates us from God. There are byproducts to our salvation. Those byproducts can be, yes, we in Christ can live a better life. Yes, in death, we're no longer bound to death, but we can enter into heaven. We can enter into His presence. All of that is a byproduct of the one central need that every single one of us has. And that is to not be separated from God. It is sin that separates us. And it is sin that keeps us from a right relationship with God. Now, here's you a classic illustration. All right? How many of you in the building love onions? Okay? I knew a guy one time, he ate onions like apples. And he would just take them and eat them, chop into them, eat them whole. I asked him one day, he was in his 80s, and I said, Brother Bird, how long have you been eating onions? He says, oh, probably 60, 70 years. As soon as I realized how good they were, I said, when was the last time your wife just laid a big old smoochy kiss on you? He says, oh, it's been a while. There might be a reason, right? Just as onions give off a really bad breath scenario, sin separates us from God. It keeps us from being fresh. But here's the reality. In Christ, we have been empowered through His death, through His burial, through His resurrection, through the Holy Spirit taking up residence within inside of us. We have been empowered to stay fresh with God. In other words, we have the ability to walk hand in hand with God Himself. That's what these few verses deal with this morning as we look at understanding that empowerment that God has given. Listen, there's one thing that frustrates more Christians than anything. And that is the desire to be right with God, but the constant failing at being right with God. And it comes back to understanding how we were saved, what that means, and what that empowers us to do. So he says right off the bat, verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So I want you to fill in a simple little blank on number one. We are alive in Christ because of his righteousness. Whose righteousness is he talking about? He's talking about his righteousness. Here's what he's saying. You and I, in our dead bodies, cannot do anything that pleases God. We cannot make God happy in the human flesh. It's impossible to do. But in Christ, through receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, his Holy Spirit taking up residence within inside of us, his righteousness is then given to us and can be lived out through us. So we have to understand we're alive in Christ not because of us, not because of what we've done, but because of what he did. And since it's because of what he did that we're alive in Christ, the only way to live in Christ is to live through his righteousness working through us. How many of you noticed last week how horrible people in Knoxville were driving? Did anybody else besides me? There are a few of you that did. It was horrible. I almost got hit 7 or 8 times. And I got out at one point and walked around the truck just to make sure nobody had put a sign on there, please hit me. When we are in the midst of life and things are happening, there's a human tendency to just go with whatever the flesh says. Right? Somebody does something we don't like, we respond in the flesh. Somebody pushes our button, that button triggers the flesh. But here he says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit has brought it to life. But if the spirit of him, keep reading verse 11, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now, what's he saying? He's saying there is that understanding that we're alive in Christ. His righteousness is being lived through us. Therefore, because Christ dwells in us, number two, we can say no to sin. Because of Christ living in us. Did you catch that? We can say no to sin. Now, what does that mean? That means when the button gets pushed, when the flesh wants to respond, because Christ lives inside of us, we have therefore the ability in Christ, his power, to say, no, I'm not going there because the body's dead. When was the last time you said no to sin? Now, don't let anybody get super spiritual on you. Look to the person to your right and left and say, don't go there. Every person in this room, every person who hears this message, deals, battles with, is confronted with sin every single day. Can I have an amen? Even Jesus Christ was tempted with every form of temptation there was. What allowed him to say no? Because of his total surrender to God the Father. He could have at any moment said, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead. At that point, he would have not been our sacrifice. But because he said no, you and I can now say no. Why? Because he lives within inside of us. And let me bring this home to you for a second. If the only reason you accepted Jesus Christ and you went through whatever process you went through was to not go to hell and to go to heaven, you might need to check your salvation. Because the Bible says the only way to accept Jesus Christ is through the repentance of sin. The only reason that we need Jesus is our sin, right? And so when we accept Christ, it has to be based on the fact, hey, we are sinners. We cannot be pleasing to God apart from His salvation working in our life. In that, we then are forgiven. We are empowered. He takes up residence within inside of us. And at that moment forward, we can say no to sin because Jesus lives here inside of us. When was the last time you said no to sin? If you're not constantly saying no to sin, then that means you're in sin. Sometimes we think, well, we can negotiate with sin. Sin doesn't negotiate. Did you know that? It's either all or nothing. You say, well, what if I get just a little bit of sin? It's still sin, right? It's that junk that separated us from God. It's the stuff that we accepted Christ to get out of. It's the stuff that we can say no to because of who lives inside of us. You know, some of the most difficult struggles in the Christian life do not occur when you're a young Christian. They occur the longer you've lived with Christ in your life. Because we do what is natural to human life. We get complacent. And we just sort of sit back and we say, hey, I've got heaven taken care of. I'm not going to hell. And, you know, I'm better off than all these other people. And so we tend to measure things up. We look at it and say, okay, I'm pretty good. The moment we stop saying no to sin is the moment that we are no longer fresh in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I asked Brother Bird, what do you do after you eat those onions? And he said, my family makes me go wash my mouth out. Now, if you can imagine taking a big old onion and eating it like an apple, can you imagine the smell? And I said, well, Brother Bird, what do you wash your mouth out with? He says, most of the time I use water. Because I still want to taste those onions. And you know, water won't wash out the taste of onions, will it? You got to go after that onion. And I mean, you got to hit it with more than water, right? You can't just take a little bit of sin and say, I'm going to hang out with this little bit of sin, and it's not going to corrupt. It's not going to give off that which is bad. It's going to be okay. I can live this way. And yet the reality is we at that point are no longer tight with God. There is something that is giving us a problem in our relationship with Christ. We are struggling. And then we say, okay, well, I'll put on a little praise, and maybe that'll do it. Listen, I'm the world's greatest lover of music. But music won't wipe away sin. Now, I love studying the Bible. I love preaching. But preaching won't wipe away sin. You know what wipes away sin? The blood of Jesus Christ. The reality of Him on the cross, in the tomb, coming out of that tomb alive. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what he's saying. Because Christ dwells within us, he will give life to our mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in us. Our problem is that we've just flat out forgotten that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We go through our life and we think, I'm in this thing all by myself. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren. Now, Paul had a unique way. when he was going to hit you with a really good point, when he was going to get you right between the eyes, when he was going to nail you, he would use a term of affection, which is the term brethren. Therefore, brethren, here comes a big bear hug, because you need to get this. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? Okay, 10 of you got that. For if you live according to the flesh, you will. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Did you read that? But if, middle part of verse 13, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We can kill the deeds of the flesh by accepting that we're under obligation to Christ. We can kill the deeds of the flesh by being indebted to Christ, not to our bodies, not to the flesh, not to sin. You're going to pay somebody. Have you ever noticed that about life? Everywhere you go, what does it do? It costs money. In your spiritual journey, there is a cost. The Bible says Jesus paid it all, right? Therefore, we are indebted to him. Think about that. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. And yet we struggle in our Christian journey, allowing sin to get a foothold, allowing sin to dictate what we do, what we think, how we feel. And yet Jesus sacrificed everything on the cross to pay for that sin. You say, well, what do I do? That struggle is real. Yes, that struggle is real. Through the Spirit. Look at what he said again, middle part. But if by the Spirit, the only way you can do this is by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So that means when the challenge hits, when the temptations come, you have to understand who's living inside of you. You say, why didn't God just do that for us? Wouldn't it be so much better? Pastor Tim, don't you think God ought to just take care of that for us? Yeah, because I'm human. That would be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great if somebody just kept putting gas in your car and you never had to fill up and pay? Wouldn't it be great if you went to the grocery store and somebody just paid for your groceries every time you went? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if you needed clothing, somebody just gave you clothes and picked the right kind? Wouldn't that be awesome? But you know, that's not the way it works, is it? It would be awesome if God said, you know what, I'm gonna take this thing away and you can just forget about being tempted. We think that would be so awesome. You know what it would do? It would mean that we're not making a choice to love God or love sin. It would mean that God would never get that simple choice to love from us. We would be nothing but mere robots if that's the way it worked. And we would take it totally for granted. And you'd say, well, but you know, if we weren't tempted with sin and we didn't have to say no to sin, well, I promise you, sin can only be dealt with the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. But you and I have to make that decision. You and I have to recognize who lives within sight of us and say, hey, the Holy Spirit lives here. And therefore, when I'm tempted with sin, when sin is there and when sin starts to come out of this body, I've got to say, no. Sin is dead because Christ lives in me. That's why I accepted Jesus Christ. Some of you are still hung up right there. Maybe the only motivator you had was not to go to hell. Listen, I hope you hear this. One of the greatest evangelists to ever live, who just recently died, throughout his entire ministry up to the point of his death, kept saying over and over and over again that 73%+ of people sitting in American churches do not really know Jesus Christ. And the reality is, we have given all these ideas to entice people to say yes. And yet salvation is not about being enticed. Salvation is about being broken. Do you see the difference? I can give you an incredible picture of heaven. I can tell you why you want to go to heaven. And I mean, listen, heaven's going to be awesome. It's going to be incredible. We get glorified bodies. I mean, I'm going to look better than any bodybuilder that has ever lived. The mirrors are going to be positive in response. Why? Because we get that glorified body. We get to live in the Shekinah glory of God. In heaven, there's the absence of sin. In heaven, there's the absence of sorrow. There's the absence of pain. There's the absence of death. In heaven is everything good and absent everything bad. Every good reason there is tells us you want to go to heaven. But I don't accept Jesus Christ just to go to heaven. Because that's a decision that you can make without brokenness. But when I understand what sin is doing to my life, when I understand that sin is separating me, not just eternally, but in the present, right here and right now, when I understand that sin is giving me a broken fellowship with God and that God has the best for me right here, right now in this life, not just in heaven, then I understand, hey, I'm trapped and I'm destined for death. Now, with death comes pain. It's the opposite of everything in heaven. When we live according to the flesh, when sin rules our bodies, there is pain, there is sorrow, there is agony, there is frustration, there is just a total helplessness and hopelessness. And the only way that sin can be dealt with is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in that, then I understand, okay, when I accepted Christ, I was broken over my sin. And because of that, Jesus came in and took up residence within inside of me. And now that power can flow. Now I can say no, but I can go even further. Now I can kill the deeds of the flesh. Not just slap them, not just hide them, not just ignore them. I can kill them because Jesus and his power through his spirit live inside of me. And I, because of salvation, am totally indebted to Jesus Christ. There's not a day goes by that we're not indebted to the one who paid the price for our life. Amen. Do you see the difference? You and I have to approach this if we want to be in revival with God. And I believe revival is a state that God wants us to be in continually. It's not something that just ought to come and go. We have to understand we've been empowered to kill the deeds of the flesh. But then look what he said. For as many, verse 14, as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what did he say? Abba, Father. Our adoption by him is what allows us to be led by the Spirit of God. Verse 16 says, The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with whom? If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Here's what that says, and I wish we could end on a good note. I really do. Some of you will take this as a good note, but some of you will take this as a bad note. What this says is the Christian life is a struggle. Look back. Hope you didn't close up too soon. Look at what he said. That if indeed we suffer with him, our salvation came at the expense of great suffering. Our Christian life comes at the expense of great suffering. It's not easy to say no to sin. It's not easy to kill the flesh. Why? Because all the emotions and things of life just pile in. And there are things that we like. Satan's the great deceiver, right? He makes things seem just perfect. But if we struggle, if we understand that the Spirit of God is living inside of us, and we're faithful to that struggle, and we're faithful when we're tempted to say no, we're faithful when the flesh begins to dwell back up to kill it. Even Paul himself said, I don't do the things I should do, and the things I should do, I don't do. There's that constant struggle. But if you stay in the struggle, not under your righteousness, but his. Not under your might, but his. Staying in the struggle literally gets you to life abundant. And it seems like such a contradiction. But the spiritual struggle in Christ is nothing compared to the struggle that sin brings into our life. That's why we can recite that verse, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.